Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, December 15th, the Juggling All the Things edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 6. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's 9 and a half, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I am a podcast maker. I host another show called The Best Advice Show, and I live in Detroit with my family. My oldest Noah is 5, and my youngest Ami is 2.
Well, today we have a very relatable question about an 8-year-old who wants to do everything all at once. We're talking karate, piano, soccer, theater, gymnastics. You get the picture. We're going to help our listener get their schedule under control while also keeping their passionate 8-year-old happy. Then on Slate Plus, we cannot help but weigh in on a juicy question first posted on the Slate Parenting Facebook page, all about a pretend wedding that took place at school. Here's a sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
If these were first graders, you know, I think this would just play, you know, but like for these to be kids, they're on the cusp of having that interest or that are starting to, you know, like I said, I've heard some things. There's a lot. I like so-and-so, so-and-so yeah. Talks to so-and-so. So for it to escalate past crushes and boyfriend, girlfriend to marriage is so interesting.
If you want to support our show, the best way to do that is by signing up for Slate Plus. You get bonus segments from us each week, as well as from your other favorite Slate shows, and you won't hear any ads. It really does help us out immensely. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to catch up on our weekend parenting, but not before a quick break. See you back here in a second.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
All right, Zach, do you have a triumph or fail for us this week?
I got a fail. We are coming out of Noah having an ear infection. You would have heard last week that she was struggling with that. She missed 3 days of school, but the medicine started to work. And by the end of last week, she started to feel better. So she got 1 day of school in last week. And we thought, okay, great. She's doing better. And then on Saturday, it wasn't entirely apparent that she was still sick. But what was apparent was that she kept talking in her baby voice. And at first I was like, fine. Like she resorts to baby voice sporadically. She's five. She's not so far past it. But she just like kept doing it. And I was just so impatient with it. I was just not being my best self. I was just like, Noah, talk like a big girl. Come on, Noah. And it's just like over and over. And clearly that wasn't helping. And all my fails come back to this lack of patience and inability for me in the moment to think about why might she be talking like a baby right now? What does she need? It turned out she was still sick. Like she developed a cold like that day. And I think she just needed some extra TLC. But I was ashamed of myself for just being like, Noah, come on. It's like, that doesn't work. So I've been thinking about it a lot. In the wake of it, I don't endorse the baby talk, but I think my reaction to it was not at all helpful.
It is annoying, though.
It's so annoying.
The baby talk is so annoying. It's okay to be annoyed by it.
I did everything short of saying, like, shut the fuck up, which I didn't do, but that's what I was feeling. Yeah, okay, sure. Thanks, Liz. Yep. The win. I didn't tell my kids to shut the fuck up. Triumph.
You know,
we have low standards at the end of the year.
It's exactly. It's December. We're on our last leg.
Yeah, we really are. My God.
Zach, something you said I've just found so profound. All of my fails are connected to a lack of patience. Mm. And that is so often like, I think almost everything I do wrong in parenting, if I just took a moment, you know what I mean? Like if I took a beat and just thought it out a little bit longer, you know what I mean? Like it would have gone differently. I would have used kinder words, you know, if I just had a little bit more time to think about her perspective.
Yep.
And so my own fail is from yesterday. I'm so deeply disappointed in myself. I lost my temper with Naima. And, you know, I gave her about 20 minutes to herself. I was in the laundry room to do homework, right? We did the first page of the homework together. Naima's been really frustrated with math. She's having some challenges there. We're working on getting tutoring. Like, it's a whole thing. And she gets a lot of math homework, you know, which is in a way good. We're getting some practice. But another way, it's like here you are every night being confronted by the thing that makes you feel inadequate, you know. And I came back and like she did one problem successfully and nothing else. But it wasn't that she'd spent the entire time on one problem. It's that she said she second guessed herself on the first one. She wasn't sure she got it right. And so she didn't try with the others. She didn't have a device. She was just sitting there staring off into space. And I got so frustrated. I was just like, so you just sat and did nothing? You didn't even try, Naima. And I laid in on her for not trying, you know? And that is a consistent thing with Naima, that when things are challenging, sometimes she gives up. But, you know, it's my job as the grown-up to think about why she's giving up and to think about what does this mean on a, you know, deeper level and to be more empathetic than judgmental. And I wasn't empathetic. I was judgmental, you know? And so, I mean, I didn't scream. I raised my voice, you know, I didn't scream, but you know, like I wasn't kind in that moment, like I should have been. And, you know, and she got very defensive of herself and, you know, like it was the whole thing. And we apologized to each other, but I was very clear with her. And again, I reiterated it this morning that like, I was wrong, you know, and when she says that's okay, I'm like, it's not okay, you know, and I don't want anyone to ever talk to you like that, especially not me, but I don't, you know, that's not how people are supposed to talk to you. You deserve, you know, kindness and patience. And I am frustrated with a lack of effort at times, right? But like trying to communicate that is so difficult. You know, she's often very defensive of herself. And it took her, you know, I think it was because I was upset that she, you know, kind of admitted that she just didn't try, as opposed to, you know, pretending as if there was some other sort of reason or, you know, but she admitted, like, I just gave up. I just didn't try. I don't know. It just sucks. It, like, God, parenting fucking sucks, you guys.
I know. Are you in a season right now of feeling... just feeling overwhelmed by, because I am certainly, Jamila, are you like, in one of those moments, which we go through. What do you think, there's anything like, have you been taking care of yourself? Have you been like having fun yourself? Have you been able to?
To the best of my ability, I have things to look forward to socially. I have some outlets.
Okay. You know. That's good.
It's just kind of a bad week, too. I don't know if you guys feel this way. It's just like all of the things.
End of year stress is real for sure.
I think, Jamila, you should feel like amazing that you apologized again in the morning. Like, how many of us just blow it off?
Yeah, and let it I agree. So, and you do like, this. This is your pattern.
Really well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she gets apologies. Like, she's, you know, I mean, not like it's happening all the time, but when I'm
wrong,
when I'm, you know, I'm generally pretty transparent about it.
I wasn't suggesting that you are fucking up all the time. I was suggesting that
in the
moments that you do, you're really good at circling back to it. Yeah.
Every morning, I'm sorry.
No, I just think, I mean, I so often like apologize in the moment, but by the next day it's gone. And I think it's such a nice way to also reframe, like to come back and say, this is why I was frustrated.
Yeah.
And I want better for you. Like, I want you to try things even if you're going to fail.
Yeah.
You know, because you know that's an important life skill and she doesn't know that yet.
Yes, she doesn't get that. I'm like, if all these answers had been wrong, we would have been fine.
That would have been better than this.
That would have been better than this.
That's right. Okay, well, I also, making it a triple fail week.
All right.
humorous fail to share. All of our school pictures came back this week and I'm about to slack you something, but first, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, boy.
Teddy's picture, adorable. Henry decided to opt out of the picture. He just said he wasn't feeling it, came home. I was like, okay, cool, because we're
homeschooled.
I think
that is kind
of cool. They don't have, like, a retake. Okay. I'm going to send you Oliver's.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Yes!
Did you get it?
Oh, yes. Okay,
are you serious?
Let's describe this.
This, guys, is the best photo that they had. So I'll let you two...
Okay, because I've seen this kid before. He's an adorable kid.
He's such gorgeous, a cute kid.
And this picture, first...
No way.
Okay, let's describe this, Jamila. So he's got a cute zipper Christmas sweater pullover. On.
Like high-neck Christmas sweater. Holiday very pullover. Cute.
Sandy blonde hair. Looking right at the camera. But it also looks like he is... What?
He's trying, grimacing.
Trying to like hold in a fart? What is he?
You know what? He's grimacing. Like... It is the most, you know what it is? I could tell, like, he got caught it was going to be an awkward smile. And they caught him mid awkward smile. So instead of getting the awkward smile, you get what looks like a grim. He looks so disgusted with, like, this is a meme. Like,
yes,
this
yes.
is a meme.
My best
this
friend
is a family
like
meme for sure.
For
this is
for
great.
Christmas. It is the worst possible photo.
Yeah, you have to.
You gotta get
of course,
a I want one
because it's amazing.
This will go on my refrigerator.
It's not that funny, but every time I open it,
it's pretty funny.
So no, I literally, please send me one, Elizabeth. I want one.
Okay,
this
I will.
Great.
I'm sending everyone copies.
This will be the picture you all
like
remember.
He's kind of being held hostage. And he, even after showing it to him, he said, yeah, that's what happens when photos are taken in the gym.
Well, he's like disgusted at this bed. Look at, what am I supposed to work with here?
His eyes are like kind of closed.
Like, he's still cute despite all of it, though.
He's still a very cute. You can tell he's a handsome kid, but he looks disgusted with the world. Like, how could you? There's a basketball hoop over there, and I'm supposed to give you Paris in springtime. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
He took a beautiful photo last year. In most of my family photos, he has a great smile. Sometimes he doesn't want to participate. So I was like, did you not want to participate? And he was like, no. Guy sat down.
I have a take that I think that school pictures should just be done away with. We take pictures of our kids all the damn time. Why do we need this stupid formal one with a gray background and spend like $40 on wallet size photos that like we have enough pictures, don't we?
We have not had good luck with them either. Like, I mean, we had such great ones when Naima was super little, and these last few ones have not, you know, she's not been happy with them. I haven't been happy. We just did retakes a couple weeks ago because the first set was so, and she had on this really fly hat, and the photographer said, let's do one without the hat, and that's the one he sent us. Like, the kid obviously wore the goddamn hat for the picture. Yes. Like, when do children have hats? Like,
send me all of the photos and let me choose. Why have you chosen?
Yep. That sounds like an easy process.
Which he looks less disgusted.
Which brings me to, what did the other pictures look like?
Yes, I know.
What are the bad ones like?
How could this be the best?
How?
My other concern is, you know, I think schools do them because then at least at our schools, they use these photos like when you get your students next year. And I just think like, oh, good grief. Like, this is the picture they will upload into his digital profile.
What if he has school, like Naima's school, they didn't get them this year, but last year they had photo IDs with their school pictures on them.
Oh, good grief.
So I guess there is a utility to them, but still.
I could abolish. You could get somebody's parent and a backdrop and get better pictures.
I mean, I am going to buy it and put it on a mug, but...
Yes, that's exactly where it should be. Yes.
There could have been funnier ones.
There could have been one in which I felt was better, right? Like, how did you, some guy flipping through was like, well, this is the best we got.
Well, you know what it is? When Naima was younger, when she was at like a private daycare center or whatever, they used like independent photographers, you know, and they would send us all of the pictures. Yes. But like all these Jostens and like the school photo industrial complex. Mm. You know, the ones that have been doing it for 100 years, they've got a racket going, and I don't think they're going to change, unfortunately, but they should.
This has been a disaster, but a cute disaster.
They also get the money before you get the picture. So that's the scam of it all. Like,
now I'm stuck with this.
Now you're stuck.
Well, on that note,
it's so good.
It's the best. That is a triumph.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, on that note, we're going to take another quick break. We'll see you back here for our listener question.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back, and it's time for our question.
Dear Mom and Dad, we're struggling with how many things our almost 8-year-old wants to do, and how to choose what to allow and what to strike. She does karate and loves it, and she also plays piano, but on any given day, she wants to play soccer, do singing lessons, do gymnastics and tumbling and dance classes and cheer and basketball, just to name a few. And here's the thing, it's not a passing fancy. She brings up all of these things all the time. We tell her there's only so much money that we have and time in the day, but we're struggling with what things to allow her to pursue. Obviously, we have our preferences, but we don't want to force her into not doing something just because we don't care for it. She's just equally as excited by the prospect of doing anything and everything that she happens to hear about. So how do y'all decide on what to do? Thanks, Participation Pickle.
I think this is easy, you know, like she's already got 2 activities, which I think is a fine number of activities for an 8-year-old who also has homework. You know, I would imagine, unless you go to a very progressive school, and if so, lucky you. But, you know, needing to keep up friendships with other kids and responsibilities around the house, 2 activities to me sounds like a good number. I know she brings up these things on a regular basis, but maybe it's time to talk about the things that she is doing. You know, like if you could only do 2, what would they be? And if your schedule works for 3, maybe one of these things are only once a week, or maybe they're both only once a week. And so you have time in your schedule. Maybe she doesn't go to after school. I don't know. But like 3 activities, I would say. would be my personal maximum. And that's still a little, you know, that's a little bit of a stretch. That's probably a lot of moving around, unless these are, you know, centrally located. And you could have somewhere in town that has a few of these options all in one place. The most important thing is identifying what she likes to do the most. Like, what is most important to her? If you could only do two things, what would they be? If you could only do three things, what would they be? And, you know, committing to those, giving them a good shot. And if she decides later that she'd rather do gymnastics than karate, then you can make that transition, you know, but just making sure that she's taking a reasonable amount of time to try things out and really explore her interests. I don't think you should be overwhelmed by the number of things that she's interested in, right? She just sounds like a creative, talented, active little girl.
Yeah.
Another way that she can engage with some of these interests is through reading, you know, which you also want to make sure that she's getting a good amount of time to do in between all these activities, because she's at the age where she should be, you know, approaching, you know, being a strong, independent reader. So let her, you know, take it away and read a book about kids that are, I don't know, maybe that's cruel. No, you don't, you can't take dance class. Why don't you read about some kids taking dance classes? Maybe not that, but maybe that
they're
would
so
be
happy.
One way. They're so happy.
Just look at them.
look at them dance. But maybe one way that she could, you know, get out some of that extra energy could be through reading.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And for this is a great problem to have, like your kid is a polymath. They are interested in a lot of things. That's wonderful. And to build on what you're saying, Jamila, like, I think this is as much a question about like what you want your life to be. Do you want your life to be driving from this thing to that thing? If I was driving my kids like every day a week to a different activity, which, you know, eventually that might be the case, because like once you're in high school, you have like sports practice for whatever team you're on every day. But for now, it's like, try to limit it. And in addition to reading about dance or whatever, like, you can learn a lot online. You can take like those Skillshare type classes. You can like learn to sing by just like listening to music. You can learn to dance by like going in your basement, you know, watching music videos, hanging out with your friends, and like coming up with dances. Everything doesn't have to be like institutionalized or formalized. Yeah. And in fact, like,
that's a really good point.
I wish that I would have stuck with the piano, but I didn't, because like the kind of didactic nature of like sitting with the old lady on the bench right next to me, that just like didn't work for me. So your kid could be someone who just like thrives in that type of environment. But I think that there are spaces at your home or at your kids' friends' homes where they can explore this stuff, have fun, but not like commit to it fully, and also enable you not to have to like pay for a bunch of things all at once. So I co-sign, like, yeah, pick the things that you care most about right now, the one or two things, and then, you know, pick two new things in the spring or whatever.
I'm really stuck on this line that says, like, obviously we have our preferences, because I wonder a little bit if this letter is actually like, these are two things we chose for her when she was younger, and she does them and she likes them, but she's asking about these other things. And so I wonder if the conversation needs to be, would you want to try one of these things in place of one of these other things for one session, whatever that looks like, right? For the winter. What if we didn't do piano for the winter and you did this other thing? Or what if we didn't do karate for the winter and you tried this other thing? Because I do wonder if some of it is that these are things that were chosen for her when she was younger, and now she wants to make some choices about things, or she's hearing that her friends are doing things. I wonder if you've had conversations about, like, is it that you want to be in a class? Like, are all of her friends doing this one thing while she goes and does something else? And so now she wants to do something like with them. Like, what are the parameters? I also think summer is a great time to get to spread some of your wings on these activities. Mm-hmm. If you can find a camp that samples a bunch of this stuff, I know I've usually been able to find like a sports camp where each day is something different to really give them a chance to try these things. I just find with kids, like, they hear about something and they want to try it, but then they go try it, and sometimes it just doesn't meet those expectations for them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to say, we can take, like an 8-year-old can take a 6-month break from piano and come back and not have lost any ground. So if you're worried about, like, we're on this path and I'm going to break into that. It's like, they're eight. It's okay. Giving them some opportunities to do some other stuff and then going back. But obviously you are still the parent. And I think, you know, Zach, you're to your point that you get to decide what this looks like. It is okay to say no. And a lot of these things she wants to do, like Jamila said, go to an open gym at a gymnastics on a Saturday. They mm-hmm. have those. You pay your $10 and they can try all the things and there are instructors. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like that was a real spark, then talk about whether they like that more than karate, you know. But they may go and jump a bunch and be like, oh, I don't really love this, you know.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. It's definitely, but it's also like a very adult, like, I feel like also you're helping them learn. Because as an adult, we have like a million different pulls on things we could do with our time. Yep. And so like, how do you make those decisions? And how do you choose the things you love without also getting stuck in just doing the same things you've always done? So think of it as like helping her navigate that to lay some groundwork for when you know, you're not the one making those choices. Mm-hmm. Well, Participation Pickle, please keep in touch. We'd love to know what you end up doing and if any of our advice helped. Of course, everyone else, if you have some advice to offer, send us a voice memo or email us at momanddad@slate.com. That's also, of course, where you can send us any questions of your own. And that's it for our show. Don't forget to join us Monday. And while you're at it, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Christy Tywell-Macanjula. For Jamila Lemieux and Zach Rosen, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.